Joe DeFalco in the ring, raising up the future, got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex, future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams, Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams, arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night, mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the mic, from the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night, every step, every fight, honing skills tight, future stars, destined for the fame, in the ring, they'll carve their name, blood, sweat, tears, the unending game. Joe DeFalco's legacy, they proudly claim. They proudly claim. Body slammers and high flyers, stars on the rise, taking flights off the ropes to the skies.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. Joe, how's it going this week?
Oh, it's going pretty good, but of course I'm in the middle of somebody who was asking about training and I have to be aggravated already because, you know, so I think he's not... You know, I thought he wasn't clueless. You know, he was recommended by, okay, thank God he wrote wrong person. So he was like asking about ring gear. And I'm like, well, you don't need to worry about ring gear. You haven't started training yet. So then he sends me a picture of El Grande Americano's mask. And he goes, while I design my mask a little more, can we do the El Grande Americano? And I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Like, you're training to wrestle. You don't need to wear a mask. And it's like, why would you use somebody else's gimmick? And then he wrote, oh, wrong person. So I'm like, okay, he wasn't talking about, like, ugh. I'm like, yeesh. Already have to write this kid off before he even started, before he even gave me any money.
Right. But now you know that within the next 3 months, you're going to have Grande Americano debuting on Future Shock.
There you go. You know, might as well add to the number. I hear there's three now. So,
right. You know, there's always room for one more, right?
I heard there's three El Grande Americanos and none of them American at this point.
Right. Which is brilliant. It's just fucking brilliant. Speaking of brilliant, before we get into what's going on at FSW, do you know anything going on with this guy, this Kevin guy?
I'm going to give an exclusive that I don't know I shouldn't give, but I don't think it's an exclusive. I hear the same thing that the internet hears, that his contract is up Friday. And supposedly, unless he's working, everybody, I don't know. But what you hear on the internet is what you also hear from people close to him, that, you know, nothing's happened. So, because I've been talking with him about trying to do something with a book signing, because he's been doing the tour or whatever. So trying to get a book signing here in Vegas, because, you know, of course, you know, a lot of his regular fans would definitely buy a book. So, you know, it would be something cool to do here in Las Vegas where he got his start. So I've been working on that. So it's kind of like not really wanting to approach him. Like, am I going to hit him up on Monday? Because then it's like, oh, wait, turned out he wasn't even at Raw Monday, which is believable. Now, again, as I always tell everybody, you know, there's always the booker in me. And to me, it's almost like, oh, they should do like kind of what they did with Edge when he was released. And then they brought him back, but he would be like, the cameras wouldn't be on him. I saw Bubba Ray put something similar to what I thought, that he's not signed, but he is signed. And right. The idea is now it's the movement. The movement gets him back into WWE. Like, right. To me, that would be great to do. And it, you know, and knowing Kevin from when we used to discuss stuff, he'd be close to the vest. So,
right.
You know, if that was the situation, he'd have to work us, because the worst thing I ever seen was the thing about Seth Rollins, and it was like, oh, you can't start working the boys. And it's like, really? It already leaked about Seth Rollins because of the boys who somehow thought or heard or might have think this was a possibility. And it was like, well, to call it the biggest ruse of the century is kind of ridiculous because it was all over the internet that he was cashing in. And why was it all over the internet? Because somebody leaked it. So if it wasn't leaked, it would have been the ruse of the century.
Right. And that's the one thing. I love that these people like to think that they're very smart marks. Yet at the same time, one of the things that I think we both love about Kevin is Kevin is psychologically a step ahead of people. And you know that he understands. I mean, look at the last 6 months. Everything he's been doing has been a worked shoot. And we know Hunter's relationship with him is good. So,
right, because they wouldn't have allowed him to do it all over social media. That's the one thing you could know for a fact. They wouldn't allow him to do it unless they were okay with it. Now, that we want a cross chance where he's like, oh, we gave you what you want. We want Brock. It's like, that's weird, man. It's like, you're telling me that that's what he's trying to pass that off as?
Well, and does that not play towards that idea?
It does play right into it, but it's like now, because it's almost impossible the 2K fave and to do all the, you know, everybody knows pretty much everything. You know, you knew.
There's one guy on this planet who is fucking better than anyone else. And that's Kevin Cross. And fucking being.
Right. You know, so and I also read where he wrote, like, you know, he really doesn't have a lot of say. And I believe that when it comes to where they're putting him into a situation. But I think he's telling the truth, but he's also clouding the truth. Where he's telling the truth where, you know, when he gets on, he's not really privy to everything. But there is a long-term plan, and that might be because we know Kevin. We like Kevin. We want to see Kevin succeed. Right. And it could turn out that he was telling 100% the truth. And all of a sudden, you see him in an FSW ring again real soon. Sure. You know? But it seems like, wow, you'd be really missing out on a great opportunity if there wasn't more to this story.
Right. And the one thing that doesn't add up here to me that no one is talking about is that in situations prior, a lot of the guys who get let go are not currently one of the top sellers of merchandise. And for them to cut that line off, it makes absolutely no sense. You know, and I think that it also makes more sense to believe that they fucked them over, right? So if the fans really get mad and think he, you know, got fucked over, and he's already got that contract and no one knows, when he comes back, all of a sudden, it's, you know, it's just fucking huge and you have something to play with. So,
well, you know, I think we can look back on something that recently happened with R-Truth.
Yeah.
Because guess what? 2 weeks after now he's been brought back, we're now 2 months in and you don't even see him anymore. So I think they decided, oh shit, we fucked up. And we signed him again and we're bringing him back. And Triple H is right. Well, no, again, I would think he lied on that one to where it was, oh, it's all part of the show. No, right. I think they fucked up. all the wrestlers got behind him. They re-signed him. And now once he was done with Cena, there's nothing for him to do. Like, you know, he's a 50-something-year-old guy who was great in little spots. And nobody wants to see I'm Serious Ron Killings. Like, I dug him in TNA back in the day.
Right.
And I thought, Ron the Truth Killings or whatever he went by, the moniker, he was awesome. But, you know, everybody has a role to fill. And his role is not main event status.
Tough guy. Exactly.
He was comedy fodder. He was fun. You know, they played it to the death of, oh, hey, everybody, it's great to be in Detroit. Oh, we're in Chicago. Okay. Right. You know, you can only do that for so long.
Yep.
But he's so beloved by the wrestlers, yep, and he was liked by the fans. He ended up getting another year contract out of it, and they're using him as often as they used to use him,
yeah,
which was almost never.
Yeah.
So I can also look at the Cross thing and say, you know what? They figured, you know what? Let's give him the run toward the end. Because also another thing you see is when somebody's got a month, a week, 3 months, sometimes 6 months before their contract expires, they're done. They're off TV.
Yeah.
You know, they job them out a couple times, but they never wait till like the day of to use them.
Right.
Like they didn't have to put Cross in SummerSlam, but they did.
Right.
They didn't have, you know, oh yeah, but you know, they waited to the end of his contract to put out shirts. Well, they made profits from it. It wasn't like, here, Kevin, here's a $25 shirt. We're going to keep $5 and you get 20. No, it's here's a dollar and we're keeping $24. Thanks for getting us over. Let's go back in time. Zack Ryder. He got himself over. Then they gave him a little run and then they fucking buried him on the way out. And now Matt Cardona is basically, I want to come back. I want to come back. And for whatever reason, Matt Cardona is not back.
Right.
So anybody who claims to know without knowing, and it's almost like I don't want to ask Kevin because
you don't want to know.
See it play out. Because right. If I think that it is, it's like, oh, this is cool, you know, that they're actually, you know, in on it. Or if they don't understand or not figuring out how to do it, give me a call. And I could tell you how to get Cross back into the mix as a major player. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure that Abyss and all those.
Abyss is not part of creative. They're agents.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know, you got to have some Hollywood idiot write for them.
You're right.
I was in the mind of Killer Cross. We were joint at the hip when he came to ideas. He had ideas and I would expound upon it and we would work things out. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, you know, he would Vince Russo out where he was going to walk in and win all the titles at one show. Yeah, I'm going to take out Cody and I'll become the No Limits champion. And then he was going to beat the tag team champions by himself. And it was like, and how does this help everybody else? I think we're okay, Kev. We're not going to go with that route. Great ideas. You know,
his 10-day run as the women's champion.
I got this idea. I'll put over Carl Fredericks. Hey, but I can really use you to put over Hammerstone. That would be like the one I really want you to do.
You know, speaking of, you just brought up a name who is out there as well. Can we possibly see Cross? You know, he gets to start doing independent dates, and we got Carl Fredericks up north, just kind of hanging out. Maybe we get that match.
Maybe, but Carl Fredericks doesn't like me for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. I'll tell you the story. So I hit him up about working a few years ago when he was doing New Japan. And we agreed on a price. It's like, hey, it's a school show. We're doing this. You know, I can do this. He's like, okay, I got to talk to Rocky Romero.
Right.
And he came back with, hey, Joe, I had to be paid three times as much money, which kind of made it a certain number.
Right.
Also, I can't be involved in any storylines, no wrestling for championships, whatever. So it made it kind of like, it wasn't really, you know, you're probably going to have to pass on it. So right. Then we were doing the Full Tilt first weekend when AEW came to town. And I saw he was booked, I think, for Black Label Pro. Oh, yeah. It was also he couldn't lose. So I wrote, as you do on Messenger, kind of almost cryptically. So I'm like, hey, same deal. And I quoted the price. And I wrote can't lose. And then after that, I put the amount of money. So he took offense to it because he thought I was saying that I can't put you on the show because I can't afford to lose X amount of dollars on the thing. So it was like I was thinking, hey, I could book you, but I can't really afford to lose X amount of dollars. And then he got pissed off at me, and I didn't understand why. And then when my kids saw the post, he was like, well, I think he's reading it this way. And I'm like, oh, because Bret the Threat ran into him one time. And he was talking to him about, hey, you know, maybe you should come back to FSW. And the comment he made, I didn't understand. I can't remember exactly what it was. But if you place it together, he was kind of taking a shot at me talking about like, well, you know, he's probably not worth it. He can't afford to lose X amount of dollars.
So you screwed yourself on that one.
No, all he had to do was go up and see the other message that I had said. And we talked one more time after, you know, I wished him the best and all the other stuff. But he was at the point already where he was motherfucking me.
Yeah. Sure.
Which is crazy because, you know, I was always putting him over to everybody. Yeah. And, you know, he was the guy we had in line to possibly become the next champ. And then he went to the New Japan thing. So yeah, that's the Carl story. So, you know,
reach out to Eddie Thorpe then.
Yeah, maybe. Well, after his exits from New Japan and WWE, he has seemingly been very bitter,
yeah,
on all ends. So you know what, you know, good luck to you.
Yeah, I think.
But he didn't make any friends on the way out of either company either. Right. And again, you know what, you could be done dirty, or you think you're being done dirty, and like that. If you read it that way without any context, and we never had a conversation before. But it was the exact conversation that I wrote back that he told me of not losing, and this is how much it was. So I was saying, hey, same deal. You can't lose. And $500. So that's where it ended up, you know, being. So be it. I haven't seen his name on anything, and he was in NXT. So if he was going to work, I guess he could have by now.
Yeah, I honestly think he's probably taking a.
You know, I guess I can go hunt down some EDC shows and see if he's DJing there. You know, maybe. We could have a bond as two DJs. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you could bring him in and. You know, maybe he can do a DJ set, you know.
Yeah, maybe he knows some Latin. Maybe he knows some Latin freestyle stuff and the Cover Girls and Stevie B.
Oh, man. All right. So we have.
Back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
A big one coming up here. Survival of the Fittest is Sunday, August 17th at 5 p.m. from the Silverton Casino. You know, things are starting to shape up. We just got the announcement of Tag Team Mayhem, the 4-on-4 survival match. All right. So, you know, we kind of talked about it last week about, you know, who was available, what you were thinking. How did it come together that these are the eight teams that, you know, made it? Because it sounded like you were fairly set, but there was, you know, a slot or two that were.
Well, there was options, obviously. Class and Reno, Pretty City, former tag team champions. We just got them back in the mix. They won a match. You know, how do you not put them in there? The Suavecitos, they've been back. They've been doing some good stuff. Great stuff over the last few months. Yeah. We got them. We're going to use them. Mariachis, obviously, mainstays. Sky High, mainstays, former champions. Transcendence. That was the big thing. And then when we're doing the MK Army, they get put into that. So now you got no tag team champions in that match. So right. Lights, Camera, Faction, former champions. EJ Sparks, we've been working on bringing back the Regulators, who we think are outstanding, but yeah. EJ Sparks was injured. After we had set a date, he got injured again. So now it's like, okay, so we got six teams. And then Young Money, you know, obviously we've used them in single stuff, like RJ Wild. They started doing their tag things. And then it's been a month or two since they wrestled, and they looked extremely impressive.
Yeah.
And matching gear. We really like Colin Muldoon in there, in that mix with them. You know, they go by Young Money. I'm thinking the Brat Pack. You got, you know, 18 to 20-year-old three guys.
What are you going to rebrand? Oh, we got Emilio. Come on out. And
well, you know, you got these three young kids. You know, I had the Brat Pack with, you know, Billy Starks and Bodie, and we were trying to we were working on that. You know, it was a character name that I liked, and it fit them in there. Right. So, but so now all of a sudden we had four teams, and now we only had three teams. And you know, there was the idea of Greatness and Tenacious, and Ricky ended up in. Being part of the gauntlet match that we had. So now we still needed a tag team. And to be honest with you, there was a couple of options. Young team, the Royal Daddies. They're more featured on Future Shock. But it became experience, and it became where they're at. And despite losing, they lost a really competitive match against Class in Reno. Jimmy Jack and Chase Bell are above them, you yep. know, appreciate the work John, you know, Johnny Royal puts in, and Daniel Ismael, you know, came from Texas and he's got a bright future, but I don't like skipping people that are more deserving. So that's where the Po' Boys came in, and they got that final slot.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, and it makes for a pretty damn good mix, you know, when you look at what's going on with this. And there's, you know, I think there's that little question always of can the faction get along with people? So, you know, you got that baby looking like, oh, you know.
It's a little different than, say, you know, the 5-on-5 survival match. It's MK Army. So they're looking to all survive. But if they win and one guy survives, the team's winning.
Right.
So whatever team wins, that's the comeuppance. In the tag team one, it's basically a match within a match, you know, to where if the faction win, it ain't like they're looking to eliminate Mariachi Montaña. They're working together, but you want to survive because you're next in line for the tag titles. Transcendence needs a tag team to wrestle against.
Right.
And they've already beaten Sky High. They've already beaten Lights, Camera, Faction. So how do Lights, Camera, Faction, Fresco and Watson get another title shot and jump over somebody? Well, yeah, if they're the last team, then yeah, then they're great. They're deserving of that shot. If the Regulators, who we haven't seen, are the last surviving team, but now what happens? Because again, one side is going to have zero.
Yeah.
Now, what side that is? So if Young Money and Pretty City are the two teams left, well, you either have a number one contenders match with them two, or you could do a triple threat tag match with them. So it's important to last, and it's important to be that final team. But, you know, there's many cases where on a five-on-five, two or three people survive, and they win the match. But either way, even though you were pinned, you won the match. I don't think that works in the tag match. I think if Sky High gets eliminated, but Pretty City or Young Money or whoever wins the match, I don't think they're coming out, yay, we won. It was like, yeah, but you got pinned. So that's what makes it a little different.
Yeah.
In that manner. So it's an interesting concept. And we actually just signed a women's match.
Okay.
That looks like it'll be a 3-on-3 elimination match to where it's basically a team FSW. And I know for a fact they're not very happy about it, but on team FSW, we have Gypsy Mac and Brittany Brooks on the same team. So they'll be teaming up with one of our younger talents, Dana Lynn, who wrestled on shows at 16 or 17, went to school, and now she's been back after a couple years. So she'll be on there. But, you know, they'll be taking on a team of outsiders. And the outsiders are two AEW wrestlers or Ring of Honor, Layla Gray and Trisha Dora. And somebody who had been injured and wrestled for us, I believe, once. But she's local and she's training with us full time. Black Swan will be making her return. So it's going to be a 3-on-3 elimination match. And, you know, Brittany lost. You know, she was hoping to get a rematch at Survival of the Fittest. And it's like, well, you got to get back in line. So now the question becomes, if somebody on the outsiders pins Gypsy Mac, well, Brittany Brooks, or if one of them pinned Brittany Brooks, we have a women's show in 2 weeks after that.
Right.
So regardless of the results on Survival of the Fittest, Gypsy Mac will be defending the title on the 31st. And if you look at it, you would think, unless Gypsy Mac wins, it's going to be interesting to see, because if she doesn't win, whoever pins her is probably, again, it writes itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if Black Swan wins, well, why wouldn't Black Swan wrestle Gypsy Mac for the title?
Yeah.
You know, if Layla Gray wins or Trisha Dora, it isn't like it's some rando from some company that nobody ever heard of. These are AEW wrestlers that are now full time here in FSW.
They can potentially, you know, knowing Tony, just bring the FSW Women's Championship onto Ring of Honor. So,
hey, you know, TNA let the Reno Scum do it back in the day.
Right. that's a very solid matchup and, you know, a great opportunity
going forward, you know, before the women's show in the 2 weeks. It's, you know, I think a little appetizer, shall we say, you know, give a little taste of what's to come, because I think the blood is going to get heated in that match. And then we're going to have some scores to settle coming up. So,
yeah. We've been setting up some shows down the line. We got November 23rd. We're going to do Luck of the Draw, which is the Rumble. We got a couple of shows in September, the 12th and 27th. We got the Halloween show will be the day before Halloween, which is a Thursday. So we're looking forward to that. You know, the schedule is through the roof. You know, we're looking at a couple of different opportunities to be outside of, you know, the FSW Arena or Silverton. We're working in three different places to be doing some stuff. So, you know, as I said a few weeks ago, you know, Mania has really opened the eyes of businesses in Las Vegas for opportunities for wrestling for us.
Yeah. And, you know, again, the announcement today with WWE now in 26 going to have the ESPN tier as their premium live event home.
Oh, no, I didn't hear this. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
on Peacock.
So, yeah, so when Peacock, when it ends next year, there's no real word right now of how the rest of the catalog is working, if it's going with to ESPN. It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like it's just a premium live events and the before and after shows. And then it's basically ESPN is, you know, setting up their streaming service. Where you're going to pay $29.99 a month for.
Okay, I saw something about their streaming was $19. Maybe that was Fox One was doing.
Yeah.
So now are you having to pay for the pay per views?
No, you pay for the month, and then you get all like seven tiers of ESPN and all the
stuff. Right. Okay. Yeah. Kind of like, so the football games.
Yep.
UFC, if they get UFC.
Whatever the free UFC stuff is outside of the actual, you know, the pay-per-views that they put on.
Yeah, I just woke up before the podcast. I didn't see any of this news. So everybody's dipping into the streaming, so.
Right. And, you know, when you have the partnership that ESPN has with UFC, you know, it makes sense that that was an avenue that TKO explored, and they must have got the right number. I'd also, they're obviously, live, yes.
Yeah. You know, live sports is the best, because that's the hardest thing to bring in. Like Peacock. I say I don't want the deal, and then they offer me with ads 99 cents for a year for a month, each month.
Right.
So that's all I'm paying, or you're paying $4.99. ESPN can get away with it because, hey, you want to watch NFL Sunday game?
Right.
That's on the, like, I can never watch it anymore because I, you know, unless it was on ESPN Plus, which I had for a little while, but I switched that out for HBO Max. Because now I got the Disney, Hulu, HBO Max bundle.
Right.
So it's like, okay, I got every bundle in the world, but I don't have ESPN.
Right.
And now ESPN is going to be, from what you're saying, that's more money than Netflix or anything else combined. You know, I don't think I pay anything for $30 a month.
Well, and the thing, too, is going to be, so if you subscribe to, you know, cable company, or will Disney itself have other ventures that if you do have, let's say, Disney Plus and Hulu and stuff, you know, will the price on the package come down, etc.? That's all, you know, to yet be determined. But it's interesting because once again, the fans start griping, $30 a month. Oh, you know, they're out to, you know,
this is just too much. They're out to get us, blah, blah, blah. And the funniest thing about it is, and being a businessman, you understand this. And that is, TKO is a business. This is a corporation. Their ultimate goal is to be set to the point that if they decide to ever sell these entities, that they make three times, four times, five times what they paid. And that's
It was no different than them paying $6 billion for WWE. It ain't like WWE profits $1 billion a year. So it takes them a long time to get back to $6 billion. That's why I always wonder, and I was like, oh, well, what's FSW worth? It's a weird thing because I don't understand how much it could be worth. But it's like, well, we have things in place and stuff like that. But we're not making $500,000 a year. So does that mean we're not worth $150,000? No, I believe we have to be. Right. But I don't really know that number in terms of, you know, to me, it's like, okay, well, if it makes $100,000 a year, for example, makes it worth what, $300,000 or $400,000? But it seems like if you're making $1 million a year, you can sell your company for $50 million. Right. Like, look at the NFL. It was like, I saw one team and they sucked too. I forgot who it was, but they're selling the team and they're selling it at like $1.2 billion or something. Right. And the guy bought it for a couple hundred million.
Yeah. Yeah,
and and the team doesn't make money.
Right. And I forgot what team. You're right. I forgot what team it was. That just came out. Yeah. And, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, there's people who are pissed and like, oh, I'm not going to pay for that. I don't want to, you know, goodbye PLEs, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but at the same time, you got this luxury of the WWE network paying $10 a month. And then Peacock, like you said, paying anywhere from 99 cents to $15. It was a luxury for over a decade.
Yeah. I mean, everybody used to have to pay $50 and try to go to Sam's Town or wherever it was to watch things for free. Maybe these wrestling fans, instead of having 80 OnlyFans accounts that they subscribe to, maybe only have 60, and then they'll be able to afford it.
Oh, my, you know, the one that fascinated me was the people who are like, well, I won't pay that for that because I don't like other sports. It's like, I just watch wrestling. I don't care about football or basketball or hockey.
That's what the smart thing is. It's like, you're not going to, a wrestling fan's not going to buy Peacock. Oh, wait, WWE's on there. So now they're going to pay for Peacock. Hey, you want to watch an NFL playoff game? You got to subscribe to Peacock. Oh, you want to watch an NFL game? You have to get Amazon Prime. And then they finally got me. It was like, you know what? They decided that they weren't going to raise the price, which I appreciate, Amazon Prime. But now I have to pay an extra $2.99 to be ad-free.
Right.
Where I was paying for years and I was ad-free. Now I'm magically getting ads.
Well, you know, one of the things that really ticked me off with Amazon Prime was one day I went back in to watch some TV show that I had purchased, right? Watch an episode. And all of a sudden, in the middle, there's ads. And I'm like, wait a minute. I actually physically bought this. And now you're showing ads because it's considered part of Prime. But I own it. So it's, you know, it's like that's how it's become. It's like even, you know, they change that stuff up. And it's
frustrating. Like yesterday, I watched a movie. I saw it on the screen. It was called The Radleys. And it was with Damian Lewis, who I love from Homeland. And I love even more as Bobby Axelrod in Billions. Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay. And then it's like he's playing two roles. I'm like, oh, well, I got to watch this. And I'm trying to find it. And it's like, Well, you can rent it for $6 on Apple. You can rent it for $5. Or you can watch it for free on Tubi. I never watch Tubi. I'm like, oh, shit, it's on Tubi.
Yeah.
And it starts off, add one of six. You know, some are 30 seconds, some are 15 seconds. But it's like in the middle of a scene, it just cuts and goes to the commercial. And it's like, you know, how different. Like with my Peacock, I have the ads, and I'm almost, I guess, used to it. Right. But like, at least with Peacock, you watch a movie, and they put in like 2.5 minutes of ads, and you can watch the whole movie for free. Now, this is a two-hour movie where I'm getting cut in every 20 minutes.
Right.
Like you're watching it on network television. And it's like, well, I get it. That's you're going to get the ads because it's free. How are they going to make any money?
Yeah. Exactly.
And when it comes to ESPN now, I wouldn't buy it just for the wrestling stuff because whatever, you know, not a big deal. Like I can read the results, not the biggest deal. I did for years when it was $50 and I wasn't paying anymore.
Right.
And no longer had the cheater boxes.
Right.
So, but because being a huge football fan and being college football fan, you know, hey, now it might be worth it to me.
Yep.
Because, hey, I'm getting the wrestling. I'm getting football. I'm getting baseball. And I could care less about the hockey and basketball at this point. But, yeah, now, you know, once we're done, I got to go look into when is this supposed to start?
26. So.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And then now I saw Fox has one also.
Yeah.
Where they're having $19.99 a month, but it's like, well, what am I going to not get? You know, Santa Clara college basketball or division, you know, 1A football that was on Fox Sports 1. You know what I mean? I don't know what the benefit is. And now the question becomes, hey, where's TNA going? Well, maybe they go into the Fox thing again because – if they do live shows, I've seen that's the number one thing. That's why you can go on there and you have all these sports because you look at the spring football and MK's like, well, yeah, you know, they don't need a live audience. And it's like, yeah, they do, bro. Like you watch something. And you're giving $10 tickets away for this secondary NFL, and it's guys that are hoping to get to the next level that I keep saying will never succeed because it won't succeed because it's a quarterback sport.
Right.
Okay. And it's easy to miss the cornerback who just got cut that doesn't get picked up by another team. You're not a quarterback who got cut and it's like, oh, he just missed out of being the starter. No, he just missed out of being the third string.
Right.
And fourth string. So there's 120 quarterbacks. When you go and watch preseason football, you say, oh, my God, I hope my starter doesn't go down because we don't even have a backup that's any good, let alone the third stringer. The third stringer has got to be – you know, that's where Nepo babies come into play,
right?
You know, because you generally aren't very good. So if you can't even – if the season's a bust because you have to play, you're the type of guy who's better than the starting quarterback for the UFL team.
Yeah.
Unless they miss the boat. And they've always missed the boat on a few guys who haven't gotten there. And if you look at the UFL, there was a couple guys who did really well and they got signed. But, you know, there was one guy, he was the MVP the first year, I think, of the XFL or the other. And he went to Carolina and he was the third string and somebody got hurt. He was the second string. And he finally got a chance to start a few games. And he was more down than up. He had a couple of good, you know, one or two good games, but threw a lot of interceptions and just wasn't very good. And within 2 or 3 years, this 27-year-old was now out of the league and couldn't get a third-string job. So it's an extremely difficult position. So, you know, the NFL, they got it on lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even with the preseason games, I guess Trey Lance got to play for, I don't think he was Detroit. He was with the other team or whatever. It was like, oh, I knew I should have bet him because he was going to play three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
And of course, he lit up, you know, the guys that are going to be boxing groceries at Smith's next week.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad you brought up the UFL because that brings us to the MK Army itself and the UFL XFL's only big fan, MK. So, you know, Kevin's contract ends on this Saturday. You got an open spot right there, it looks like. And that, I don't
kinda
know.
Looks like, right. Kind of looks like him, don't it?
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's bald and it might be.
You know, he went on a diet. He couldn't afford to eat for a week or so, because, you know, after losing the contract.
Yeah, you know. So that spot, you know, obviously we're riffing here, but that spot you have it filled, right? It is.
Oh yeah, it's still open. You know, it's kind of like when Cross told me, put some money aside. I got a guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, for all I know, San Lu could be bringing in one of his dance partners from the luau's. I don't know.
I mean, you could have at least went with like a bloodline member or something. We could have seen Zilla, you know, but no, you got to go with the dance partner at a luau. Yeah. Come on, Joe.
Well, Zilla was an option, but he's busy having a fight with Rikishi, so.
Oh, man. Another match here that is, you know, looking to be, I think, a pretty damn good match. You know, Dante has a lot to prove there in defending this title.
Yeah, and you got a lot of underrated talent there. You know, exactly. Andrew Delgado, you don't see him that often, but he's had some hard-hitting matches, you know, under yep. Cody's tutelage. And, you know, Ricky can work, you know, and Braxton, you know, he's shocked many people.
Yeah.
So, and if you've looking over the last month, Dante's kind of escaped, you know, Andy did pin him.
Yeah.
You know, in one referee's eyes, Ricky pinned him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's, you know, Dante has gotten by the skin of his teeth, and gauntlet match, you know, you can say it favors the champion because of the fact that, you know, champion is the last to come in. But at the same time, you know, that also might mean that the champion underestimates the fact that the person might have had to get through, you know, two other people to get to that match. It's, you know, it's a great mystery. I've always liked gauntlets because it's a great mystery. You know, WWE lately has been bad on gauntlets because they start with the first two and then one of the persons just runs it to the end.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like gauntlets, man, you want to see someone come in, you know, in that match before and then all of a sudden take it, or you know, just that excitement of not knowing at what point who that last person is going to be to take on the champ. I think that feeds that. And, you know, like you said, all three of those guys are all excellent. They're all excellent. You don't know if Dante will survive this match. And I think that's,
yeah, you know, it's definitely an under the radar match. The big guns you see are all over the place on that show. Obviously, Sharp and Ice and Bateman and Jay Vidal. you know, and it, there's all little quirky little survival of the fittest type things where, you know, hey, Jay Vidal has been a nuisance to Bateman.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll put it on the line, but I'm going to get something in return if I beat you. And Jay Vidal's confident. So, you know, everybody likes somebody to grab their bags and go, you know, hey.
We better, if he loses that match, we better get some vignettes of him, you know, being Bateman's.
You know, hey, we saw when we were sitting at TNA, can somebody go get Eddie Edwards some Red Bull at the bar that's 150 feet away that he's too busy to go walk to? You know, like, dude, we're the ring crew. Our job ain't to be your fucking lackeys.
In all fairness, though, man, it's Eddie. And, you know, Eddie's a sweetheart. He's a good guy. I'd go get him his drink. Yeah.
Well, then you could have got it.
I know. No one asked me. I just see, you know, Jay Vidal just doing the, you know, camera following him. 40 years of you know, the servant angles in wrestling, and those vignettes are always still my favorites to see someone out of place doing something they wouldn't normally be doing. And I want to see inside of Bateman's world.
I can imagine going to Bateman's house.
Right.
And there's Jay Vidal in like a maid's outfit.
Right. The shit writes itself. Oh, man. And you go from that, and then you know, again, your championship match. I mean, no frills, straight up wrestling match. Ice Williams, WWE ID wrestler, going for the FSW championship. If he wins the FSW championship, does, you know, obviously that will, you know, kind of get word back to the office. Match will probably get watched. Does Cappuccino Joe?
I'm pretty sure Gabe's going to watch the match either way. I don't think he needs to win. But I'll tell you what, going into this match, I know there's a chip on the shoulder of Ice Williams, because he didn't win the ID championship.
Right. And if Cappuccino Jones, you know, is looking for a good fight, you know, I'm sure, you know, Ice Williams, who just wins the FSW championship, would be a wonderful person to put on their TV.
Title versus title.
Exactly.
You know, I believe Cappuccino Jones beat Ice Williams in the semifinals of the ID tournament.
Yeah.
So I know Ice wasn't a happy man.
No, and as I think we can go back and listen to, you know, prior episodes, I think you were almost putting Cappuccino over a little bit more than anyone else on the ID roster.
You know, I manifested it, because when we first talked about the ID thing, his name just stuck out to me. So maybe I am psychic.
Yeah, you know, or Gabe is really listening.
Maybe. You know what? Joe keeps talking about Cappuccino Jones, and Joe's the guy who said, you know what? Hammerstone's the guy to look out for. Chris Bay's the guy. Solo Sikoa. Carl Fredericks. See? Even before I even never put the belt on the guy.
Yeah.
Zoe Stark.
Yeah.
Killer Cross. LA Knight. Brian Cage.
Yep.
Man, this guy, you know, some people are just the creator of stars.
Yeah. Well, you know, that do we potentially, I mean, obviously it's a long way out to WrestleMania, but, you know, within the year here, and I'm sure you've had some conversations with Gabe about possibly doing another ID show. You know, do we get to see Cappuccino Jones maybe wrestle, you know, here within the next year?
We have talked. It was brief texts, but he definitely plans on doing another Gabe seminar.
Sure.
So that is in place. The idea for a show is also in place. Yep. But I also have different ideas of different stuff. And trying to work with Chris Bay, I'm putting something together, which I've been wanting to do for years anyway. Kind of like, hey, Joey Janela is the GCW guy, and they have their thing. And I've right. always pitched to Chris, you know, the Art of Finesse, you know, a show where Chris gets his boys to come in, and we have, you know, just a cool show.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I read some recent stuff, but I didn't get a chance to talk to Chris. I saw him the other day, and I meant to. But then I also hit up D'Lo, which he's behind it, and trying to take the knowledge of what I learned about last year at WrestleMania and not having to wait 5 years to do it again. And right. we're in the process, and we're hopefully announcing it in the next day or two, that – as I said, the Hard Rock, we're looking to do the Saturday-Sunday watch party and after party on the Saturday night. Looks like it'll come to fruition. But I got one that I think would be hugely successful, and I think the fans would love it. So we're going to announce this weekend that we're putting together an opportunity for fans to basically be color commentators. So, you know, it's kind of like that fan experience what WWE does. We have classic FSW matches with Solo Sikoa, Karrion Kross, Matt Hardy, LA Knight, Brian Cage. It's a who's who. So right. who doesn't want to be a play-by-play announcer?
Right.
So the idea is we're going to take some old matches. We'll have D'Lo Brown, maybe The Godfather, maybe Chris Bay, you know, especially WrestleMania, a who's who, Disco Inferno, calling a match, whatever it is, that on the off times there are no shows, we build a block of time. That way we can make it worthwhile, you know. Yeah. Hey, D'Lo, here's $25. Well, no, but we can't charge $500 to do a match. So we're trying to make it an affordable price, like about $100. And you get to call a classic match with right. a wrestling superstar.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact D'Lo's on board. Now, maybe it's a little cheaper because you get to do it with me. Whatever. But it's your opportunity to do this, which also made me think, now this would be a few more dollars, obviously, but we're going to be hosting the Hard Rock Cafe's WrestleMania party. The Godfather's already locked in for it. Well, my idea, hey, how would you love to call Cody Rhodes versus whoever live with D'Lo Brown, and we're sitting there at the Hard Rock, and you can have it done right then and there. So now the difference is there's only seven matches on WrestleMania. So right. It isn't like, hey, I want to do LA Knight versus Cross. Well, nine other people can do that match. Because in that time frame, we can do that. WrestleMania, right. we're only going to be there for the 3 hours or 4 hours, and we'd have to do it and record it and get it set. So there's only one person who's going to get the opportunity to call that right. match. So we're still working out the logistics, but I think it's, you know, mixed in with other things we can do. Because we also, as Mikey said yesterday, we have our video wall guys, you know, 100 feet away. So it's possible, because we need the Zoom recorder to record all our stuff at the shows. So that would limit the window of, hey, we're doing shows, so we can't do the commentary stuff. But yeah, we can do the commentary stuff if we move some of the equipment over to the video wall. And now you could call the match on a 10-foot by 10-foot screen.
Sure.
Sitting down in the office with a wrestling superstar. You know, if you want to pay the money, I'm sure RVD would be more than happy to do it. Now, again, wrestling fans aren't poor. There's right. somebody who might say, you know what? Yeah, I'll pay $500 for something. I'll pay $1,000 for something. People right. are paying $500 to walk down the fucking ramp at a fucking
yeah.
WWE event where it's not even an event. It's like you're just paying to walk down to Jeff Hardy's music and you come out, you do his dance. Here's $500. Thank you very much.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there you go. You know, you just gave yourself another avenue. Come out to an FSW's theme song. That's like 10 bucks easy right there.
Easy, easy.
Yeah.
You have a cycle. You know, you just have a thing. You have a line. So, yeah. So, it's a fun and exciting time, but it's like, hey, you know what? For the first time, business-wise, it's like, hey, you know what? This is an opportunity to not only do things that you love, but actually benefit from it. You know, yeah. I've done stuff for years that didn't make a penny. Or, you know, it covered the bills. So it's like, right. well, here's a chance to have a little extra scratch.
Right.
So when I go to see, you know, Lenny Kravitz tonight, you know, maybe I can afford the $27 drink. That's watered down and tastes like, wow, I just paid $27 for a water with a sprinkle of Kahlua or something. Right.
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, so we have a lot of time, and it's like every day it's like, hey, I got an idea. Hey, I got an idea. You know, last year it's like, hey, I got an idea, and Mania is a month away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, I got all these ideas stored from last year, and now it's like you get to come up with new ones.
Right. And again, like you said, the big difference now is that the local industry has seen what Mania Weekend did for business. So therefore, the anticipation of being able to even get partnerships and other things going is a hell of a lot better, because there's a track record. And, you know, this is only the second time in history that WWE has run the same city in back-to-back years. So. It's,
you know, and it's like Multiplicity. I'm going to have to be in 5 different places in one day. And it's like, you know, it's crazy, because there's other places that we're looking at it doing some stuff that they're going to have their own watch party anyway. So, well, if we could, if we can infiltrate, which is basically we're trying to do, infiltrate to everywhere. So then the more places we're at, that means the more people are going to know about FSW
right.
after Mania ends.
Right. And that's it. The presence is the biggest thing. You know, there's no doubt about it. And you know, again, it's funny, because if you look at how people complain about prices on tickets, et cetera, et cetera, I think that you're going to have these people who are now probably within the last couple of years, you know, starting to make it where this is what they save for. This Mania is their big trip for their year, you know?
Right. So. And you know what? It's like people are like, oh, I was going back to Vegas. Nobody cares. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you're still going to go, because it's WrestleMania. Now, it happens to be in Vegas, where you have 9 billion other things you can do. You're gonna need a vacation from that vacation. It's like when I go on vacation, I'm exhausted by the time I'm done, because you have to walk everywhere and you got to see this and you got to see that. And then it's like, oh, we never got a chance to go to this place. Oh, you know, we didn't go to that place. And it's like, you know, we end up every time we go on vacation, a little more so over the last few years than before. For years, we never did anything. But like went to the Bahamas twice, went on a cruise to Mexico, went to Mexico, went to Hawaii. And it's like, we're not really water people that we're going to spend the day on the beach going in the water. You know what I mean? But we always end up in those places and you always want to go to different places. And you never, even though you kind of see the sights and things like that, we haven't really gone anywhere where it's like, oh shit, it's to see Europe and go to the different, you know, places where you can go in England and Italy and things you want to do. You're more kind of around the beach, you're eating and you're drinking and you're hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, you go to Vegas to go see WrestleMania, but oh shit, I can go see Lenny Kravitz. I can go see the Foo Fighters. I can go see Def Leppard's playing. I can see whoever. It's kind of like there's, hey, the rodeo. So what do? They put the biggest country acts at Caesar's Palace.
So
now you have an itinerary of so many different things you could do that you got a base around. Ah, shit, today's the rodeo, but Carrie Underwood's playing. Oh, Trisha. You know, you got to figure out things you could do because a lot of things are happening at the same time. So maybe the rodeo is only 6 days, but now you had to make it a 9-day vacation.
Right.
Because you wanted to come in a day or two early. Like now at WrestleMania, it used to be you'd go to the show. Then it became, well, hey, we're going to do SmackDown on Friday. We're going to do Raw on Monday. We're going to do a meet and greet. We're going to do a VIP things on Wednesday and Thursday. So now you got to come into Mania week on Wednesday, but there's no show. So you're doing stuff during the day. Now you have the night. Oh shit. We can go to see the Undertaker show on after Mania. And that's why they came back to Vegas, because now they've filled up. Instead of a 5-hour show, now it's a 2-day thing, which they didn't do till 2020-ish.
22, I think it was.
Right, after the pandemic and things like that. Hey, we're going to do the 2-night. So they went from the 2-night to now it's worth 5 nights. So now, of course, it's like the Super Bowl. There's less to do Super Bowl week. You know, there's some things to do with the fans interactive. But WrestleMania is a who's who because it isn't like football. Oh, shit, we can go watch the UFL games on Wednesday. Nobody gives a fuck.
Right.
But you can go to wrestling shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, WWE on Monday, NXT the Tuesday before or after, whichever they want to do. So you can literally go for 7 days, which 15 years ago, if you loved wrestling and wanted to go to Toronto to see WrestleMania, you weren't going in there on Tuesday or Wednesday and leaving on Monday or Tuesday. You were probably flying in, you know, Saturday and left Sunday night in some cases. So it's tremendous for the host city.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking with D'Lo the other day, and it's the same thing. It's like, okay, well, obviously next year, 27, Mania won't be in Las Vegas. But you're nuts to think that they might not do the 2-night SummerSlam, or they might not do the 2-night Survivor Series, or the Royal Rumble in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because they've made a point to say, you know what? Now we're going to try it with SummerSlam in New York, huge New York City area.
Yeah. Well, and listen, the honest answer is don't be surprised if WWE's headquarters moves to Vegas within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'm a little weary on that because the East Coast rules, and they've been based on the East Coast for a long time. So I think that they can't do stuff on the West Coast, but I find it hard to believe that they're going to give up their East Coast.
The only reason I say that is I think that right now Nick has so much pull, and not only with the WWE, but with this city. Nick Khan obviously has a great relationship with the right people in the city. And if the right deal can be struck, why not move the corporate office out here? You know?
I think they can add a corporate office. I don't think that they would. Just like when they've done stuff in England and they've tried to do stuff in other countries. Like, there's no reason a multi-billion dollar company can't have two corporate offices on the East Coast and on the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest factor is the fact that you already have UFC.
They don't need a corporate office. They could just move into UFC headquarters.
Yeah. Which
they already own it.
Yeah. And apparently that place is supposed to get bigger. So, you know.
I'm going to have to ask Sharp. I know he works out there by there, you know, to snoop around for me.
You might lose him to the UFC.
You never know. Well, like I said, because of Judah Matthew, who worked there, that we got a connection with the Ultimate Fighter, and we were supposed to do something with Daniel Cormier. They ended up running late because it was the last couple of days of filming, but we were going to do something with them for them to come check out a show. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, but one of the most exciting is coming up on Saturday, August 17th, 5 p.m. from the Silver.
No, that's Sunday, August
17th. Sunday, sorry. I'm getting used to these Saturday pay-per-views now that everything's Saturday, right?
Yeah, we moved to Sundays, they moved to Saturdays.
Right, because they didn't want to compete with you.
Obviously, who would?
Final words before we wrap up, Joe.
Well, you know, we have a little extra time. We had 3 weeks in between the last show. This one, Monster Casino Show, you know, we base everything around 5 shows a year pretty much. And this, you know, maybe a little more with the Mania stuff. But this has been a mainstay PLE for, you know, probably 10, 12 years. You know, you've seen some big matches at Survival of the Fittest. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. The championship match should be a real good one. It's crazy how many fresh matchups we're able to put together with the crew of guys and girls that have been with us for a long time. So you know them well, but you're seeing something you haven't seen much of, like Ice versus Gregory Sharp, you know. You probably saw it for 30 seconds in your life, and that was the cash in the case. So, you know, that's a big match. Jay and Bateman's a big match. The 5-on-5's a big match. I'm looking forward to it. The mystery partner is going to be a big deal. You know, people are going to be like, oh, fantastic. So get your tickets. You know, we're starting to move on that front row. You know, we're looking to have some special guests. So, you know, this is going to be a big one for us. So join us August 17th. And then 2 weeks after that, the women's FSW women's wrestling show. And you're probably going to see the main event happen after what happens on August 17th.
Sure.
So we got, you know, 2 big shows in a matter of 14 days coming up.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, again, thank you for tuning in, and happy wrestling, everybody.
Yeah, I'm hitting up the silver.